chapter 16. Acts chapter 16, we'll be looking at verses 22 through 31. Acts chapter 16, verses 23 through 31. The message this morning is entitled, Something to Rejoice About. How many of you need something to rejoice about this morning? Something to be excited about, something to be joyful about. Well, we can see, we all need that, don't we? We can see within God's Word that we have something to be excited about. We have something to be joyful about. We have something to rejoice about. Look with me in Acts chapter 16, beginning, and we'll start with verse 23. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison, and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword, and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, Do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light, and sprang in, and came trembling, and fell down before Paul and Silas, and brought them out, and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and all that were in the house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, and he and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he sat meat before them, and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. And when it was day, we'll go ahead and stop there at verse 34. But let's pray. Father, we pray that you'd speak to our hearts this morning. Lord, give us encouragement from your word. Lord, breathe upon us your holy presence. Father, help us to see this morning that we truly have something to rejoice about. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, the book of Acts is a very powerful and revealing look at the power of God moving and working in the believer's life as well as within the New Testament church. In fact, this book is called the Acts because within this book we see the acts of God through the power of the Holy Spirit working and moving in God's people, His church. We see here some very fascinating events take place within the book of Acts. As the Gospel of John closes, Jesus had died on the cross. He had risen again, and He had ascended back to heaven. But He told His disciples on more than one occasion that He had to go away, but that He would send them a helper. He says, all these things that you've seen me do, you will do even greater because I will go to my Father. So in other words, with the advent of Jesus, we have the descent of the Holy Spirit. And this is first demonstrated at Pentecost when the power of the Holy Spirit came down and rested upon God's people and the New Testament church was born. And every believer in Christ, every believer, that means you and that means me, and every believer in Christ has the power of the Holy Spirit residing in us and working in us, and that is truly something to rejoice about this morning. As Jesus went and seated himself at the right hand of the Father, he didn't leave us helpless. He didn't leave us comfortless. He didn't leave us without an advocate and a guide. He sent his Holy Spirit to reside in you and to reside in me. And here in Acts chapter 16, we find the account of Paul and Silas, itinerant missionaries, traveling from town to town, place to place, region to region, traveling and ministering as they go. And Paul, through the power of the Holy Spirit here, and the verses that preceded where we picked up, Paul encounters this woman suffering from the presence of an evil spirit in her life. And he commands in Jesus' name for this spirit to come out, and immediately she was set free. You see, there is life-changing power and absolute freedom in the name of Jesus. Where else could we go but to the Lord? When a problem befalls us, when we face challenges in our lives, when we're going through difficulties, we are not left without an advocate. We can call upon the Lord. We can call on Jesus' name. That's what Paul and Silas did here. This lady was set free. Now, this causes some problems for Paul and Silas. Paul and Silas, you see, after they called this evil spirit to come out of this woman in Jesus' name, their masters have, this lady's master has Paul and Silas falsely accused, stripped and beaten and imprisoned, thrown into the innermost, cruelest, darkest parts of the Philippian jail, shackled and bound in chains and stocks. No doubt that these were terrible circumstances for Paul and Silas. This was a very dire situation. It surely spelled defeat for Paul and Silas and was a terrible way to end such a wonderful and glorious ministry that they had embarked upon. All looked hopeless and all looked bleak for them. Surely Paul and Silas had much reason to complain and much reason to moan. You know, we can look around and we can focus on negative things. We can find reasons to complain and moan, or we can focus on those blessings that we have. Paul and Silas chose, rather than to look for the reasons that they had to complain and moan and look for the negative things that were all around them, they chose to look for the positive. They chose to look and see how they were blessed by God. Rather than focus on the negative, they chose to focus on the positive. And that's the challenge that you and I, as God's people today, must focus to strive on, focusing rather than the negative. Because there'll always be negative things going on around us. But we have to focus on what God is doing. We have to focus on how we are tremendously blessed. We have to focus on the fact that we live in a nation that is far more blessed than any other nation in the world. That our families, our community, our church is blessed in very profound ways. Those are the things that we can focus on, rather than focus on what's going wrong. Paul and Silas chose to focus on what was going right. So even though it seemed that they have plenty of reasons to complain and moan, yet in the midst of their plight, they found reasons to be hopeful. They found reasons to sing. They found reasons to rejoice. How could they possibly find reasons to rejoice amid such dire circumstances? They had been beaten. They had been stripped of their clothing and beaten. They had been thrust into a Philippian jail, falsely accused, bound in stocks and chains. But yet, through all of that, they find reason to rejoice. How many of us could find some reasons to rejoice in a situation like that? You see, if we are God's people, we always have reason to rejoice. We may choose not to focus on them. We may choose not to reflect upon them. But we are blessed if we belong to God. We always have reason to rejoice. If we believe that God is in control, no matter what we're facing, no matter what we're dealing with, if we believe that God is on His throne, that God is in control, then we always have something to rejoice about. Paul and Silas, rather than complain and moan, they chose to rejoice. They chose to rejoice in the Lord. How could they rejoice? First of all, this morning, we can see that they rejoiced because they proclaimed. They were focused on Jesus and proclaiming His word, proclaiming His name, lifting His name above all else. In fact, in verse 17, it says, "The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, 'These men are servants of the Most High God, which show us unto the way of salvation.'" Paul and Silas had proclaimed the name of Christ so much that everyone around them knew why they were there and what their message was and what they were doing. I wonder, as we go throughout our day among our families, our co-workers, our friends, our community, to others, do others know that we profess and proclaim the name of Jesus? Do they know what we stand for? Or do they have to wonder who it is that we follow and what it is that we believe? No one had to guess who Paul and Silas were standing for. No one had to wonder what name they were professing and what name they were proclaiming. They proclaimed the name of Christ. they proclaimed. Then in verse 30 and 31 says, and Paul and Silas brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" The Philippian jailer asked them this question. And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." That was what Paul and Silas had to offer this jailer. And that is what you and I as believers have to offer this world that is lost and hurting and dying. What must I do to be saved? Believe on Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Paul and Silas proclaimed, that was their purpose, to proclaim Christ, to proclaim the gospel. Paul had not let anything stop him up to this point. Paul had been stoned. He had been chased out of town. He had been falsely accused. He had been stripped and beaten. He had been thrown into jail. He had been left for dead. But Paul never stopped professing the name of Christ. Paul held high the name of Jesus. He had not let anything stop him up until this point, and he was not about to stop now. Paul remained focused on the Lord. You see, doing God's work had gotten Paul in some trouble. Doing God's work had gotten him stoned and beaten and stripped and thrown in jail. Doing God's work, but yet it was by doing God's work that would get him out and set him free. You see, God has the power to set us free, doesn't he? Not only does he set us free spiritually, he can set us free mentally and emotionally, physically, whatever it is that we're going through. The Bible says, "Whom the Son sets free is free indeed." Some of us allow ourselves to be bound in chains and bound by being bondage by things in our lives when Jesus has already set us free. He keeps taking the chains off and we keep wrapping them right back around. Jesus says, "You're set free." And it's like we say to him, "I want to remain bound in chains." You see, Christ died on the cross to set us free, not so that we could live in bondage, but so that we could live an abundant life, that we could live in freedom in Christ. They proclaimed, they professed the name of the Lord. Paul remained focused on the Lord. He remained focused on the message of the gospel, regardless of what he was going through, regardless of what he was facing. And that is a tremendous lesson for us this morning. That regardless of what you're going through, regardless of what I'm going through, we can remain focused on the Lord. And when we remain focused on the Lord, the world seems a whole lot brighter. Our problems seem a whole lot smaller. God seems a whole lot bigger. And our problems seem a lot tinier as well. Regardless of life circumstances, we must remain focused on the Lord. Regardless of all the petty things that go on around us, our task is to keep our eyes firmly fixed on Jesus. Keep believing on Him. Keep trusting on Him. Keep proclaiming and professing His name. He will keep us above all else. Paul and Silas remained focused on the Lord. Paul and Silas, they remained focused on the gospel. They remained focused on proclaiming Christ to a lost and hurting and dying world. And that must be our focus today as well. They had reason to rejoice. They found reasons to rejoice. They remained focused on Christ, faithful to the gospel. They even proclaimed the gospel to this Philippian jailer. And in the end, ended up leading he and all of his household, all of his family, to the Lord as well. They proclaimed Christ. We must proclaim Christ as well. He is the compass that we must stay focused on this morning. But not only did they rejoice because they proclaimed the Lord, but we can also see that they rejoiced because they praised the Lord. They were a people of praise. There is power in praise this morning. The Bible says God inhabits the praise of His people. You see, if we will profess the name of the Lord, if we will praise the name of the Lord, we'll find a whole lot more reasons to be rejoiceful and joyful in our lives. In verse 25, it says, "And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them." Could you imagine you're there in this dark prison with you and some of your buddies, your cellmates, and all of a sudden they bring these two guys in, Paul and Silas, and they put them in stocks beside you, and everybody during the stench and the filth and the darkness of the jail and throughout the night, and you're hungry and you're bleeding and you're sore and infection is setting in, and all of these terrible conditions around you, and all of a sudden these two crazy guys next to you begin to pray. They begin to sing. They begin to praise their Lord. That pays homage to the power of God. The transformed life that they were experiencing, that even in the midst of their situation that they were in that seemed hopeless, when it seemed that you would have to be a little bit mad to find reasons to sing and praise, Paul and Silas set out in praising their Lord, even in the midst of all of that. You see, they were a people of praise. Paul and Silas, rather than sing the blues, they were singing his praises. Even in the midst of persecution and suffering and bondage, Paul and Silas were going to praise the Lord. And you know what? Regardless of what we're going through today, we can praise the Lord. We can praise His name. He is worthy of praise. Whether we're facing good times in our lives, whether we're facing bad times in our lives, God is always worthy of praise. They didn't let their situation determine their praise. Instead, they let their praise determine their situation. You see, rather than being focused on their challenges, they were focused on God's sovereignty. They were focused on who God is. Rather than what they were going through, they were focused on God, in His power, in His faithfulness, in His trustworthiness. Regardless of where they were, regardless of where they were going, regardless of what they were going through, they were filled with joy. They were filled with the joy of the Lord. And the Bible tells us that the joy of the Lord is our strength. How could they find strength in a situation like this? Because they were filled with the joy of the Lord. And the joy of the Lord was the strength, the anchor, the rock that would get them through. You see, they were filled with the joy of the Lord. The jailer could throw them into prison. The jailer could cast them in the stocks. The jailer could bind them with chains, but he could not take away their faith, and he could not take away their joy. You see, joy comes from the Lord. Joy comes from the Lord. I'm convinced today that joy is missing from so many Christian lives. That we, somewhere along the way, have lost our joy. Somewhere along the way have lost our passion and our zeal because we've allowed ourselves to lose our joy. We've allowed the things of this world to sap us of the joy that God has filled us with. You see, joy comes from the Lord, but many today live lives that are absent and void of the joy of the Lord. Have we lost our joy this morning? Have we lost that joy? You remember that joy that you once had? When you were in vacation Bible school, or when you first came to the Lord, or when you first came to faith in Christ, when you first turned to Him, you remember that exuberant, bubbling over joy that you had for the Lord. Where did it go? What happened to it? Have we lost that joy of the Lord? You see, this world can't offer joy. Many, many millions around the world today are looking for happiness in a world that cannot give it. Looking for joy, lasting, true joy that cannot be found in the things of this world. The joy, the joy comes from the Lord, and the joy that God gives is lasting. It's eternal. It's enduring. It does not end. Happiness, the joy that this world gives, is merely temporal. It's superficial. It's here today. It's gone tomorrow. But yet God's joy is enduring and eternal. If we are missing that joy, if we're not experiencing that true joy, then we're drinking from the wrong cup. God desires that you experience His joy. Jesus did not die on the cross so that we could live defeated lives. Jesus did not die on the cross so that you could be locked up and bound in the chains of misery and discouragement and defeat. But He died on the cross so that you could be redeemed, so that you could be victorious, so that you could be set free from anything and everything that might bind you and hold you down and lock you in chains. You see, happiness depends on what happens around us, our circumstances, external factors that are always changing. But joy, real joy, lasting joy, the joy of the Lord depends on what happened 2,000 years ago when Christ died to set us free. You see, Paul and Silas rejoiced because they proclaimed the Lord. Paul and Silas rejoiced because they praised the Lord. They were filled with the joy of the Lord. They were filled with His joy. And that very same joy that filled Paul and Silas that day in a Roman prison is the very same joy that's available to you and to me and to all of those who would live for Christ and come to Him and surrender our lives today. But not only did they proclaim Him, not only did they praise Him, but Paul and Silas were able to rejoice because they were filled with power from Him. You see, when God fills us, not only does He forgive us, not only does He save us, not only does He fill us with His Holy Spirit, but we have the power of God reigning, residing within us. That's something to get excited about. That I don't have to rely on Craig, I can rely on God. Because my power is weak, my power will fail me, it fades quickly, it has limitations, but God's power can see us through. Regardless of what we face today, God's power can see you through. They were filled with power from Him. They were accompanied by power from on high. The power of Almighty God filled their lives that night in a Roman prison. They were filled with power. They went in His name. They went in His strength. They went in His power. In verse 26, we see the evidence of God's awesome power there in verse 26. Remember, they had been thrown in this prison. And rather than complain and moan, they begin to sing and praise and shout. And God showed up. Because remember, God inhabits the praise of His people. They were filled with joy. And remember, the joy of the Lord is our strength. And so God shows up, and in verse 26, God's power and presence shows up, and God's power and presence made a difference that night for Paul and Silas. And God's power and presence can make a difference for all of us today as well. Verse 26, it says, "And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed." God showed up, didn't He? He showed up for Paul and Silas. God is no respecter of persons. He'll show up for you as well. If we'll let the joy of the Lord rule our hearts, if we'll let the power and presence of God take over when we can't go no more, when we can't do anymore, when we've done all we can do, and we still have the joy of the Lord and we call upon His name, the power of God will show up. And that's what happened with Paul and Silas here. God's presence was with them wherever they went, even within the confines of a Roman prison. God's power and presence was there. God's presence showed up, and God's power made a difference. Paul and Silas knew that even though their circumstances had changed for the worst, even though that things looked very dire and bleak, that they knew that we serve a God who is bigger than our problems. That we serve a God who is bigger than our circumstances, that there is not a problem that can befall us that our God cannot handle. Sometimes we live as if the problems that we can't handle, that God can't handle them either. I assure you, He can. The problems that I can't handle, the problems that you can't handle, God can handle. All we got to do is turn them over to Him. Sometimes we want to hold on to Him. We want to cling to Him. We don't want to let Him go. God desires that we lay Him at His feet so that we can activate the power of God in the problems that plague our lives. So we see here that Paul and Silas knew that even in the midst of deep trials, their focus was on the power and presence of God in their midst. Their focus and their hope was on the Lord, and that made all the difference in their lives. That made all the difference in the circumstances that they were living under. The power of God was evident in their lives. They went in His power. They walked in His power, and they were set free by His power. Have you been set free by the power of God this morning? Are you experiencing the joy of the Lord in your life? This morning, in the midst of their plight, they praised God. In their darkest hour, They relied on the power and presence of God. They remained faithful to Him. And then all of a sudden, the ground began to rumble and shake. The doors fly open. The chains that were binding them and holding them begin to fall away, and they were set free. And God's Word says, whom the Son has set free is free indeed. Amen. Not just a little bit free, not partially free, but free indeed. That's a little bit exciting for us this morning. You see, the Bible tells us that weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Paul and Silas just prayed and praised and proclaimed the name of Jesus until God broke through. And God showed up and God set them free. What are we to do this morning if we will proclaim His name, if we will lift high the name of Jesus, give Him the worthiness and the praise and the glory and honor that He is due? If we will praise Him, then Exodus 14:14 tells us that the Lord will fight for us and we shall hold our peace. God doesn't need us to fight for Him. He just wants our praise. He wants us to proclaim His name. He can fight His own battles. And you know what? He can fight your battle and my battles this morning as well. Paul and Silas were set free because they were accompanied by the unfailing power of God. If you're a child of God this morning, you're accompanied by that same power. The unfailing power of God goes with us wherever we go. That same power that set Paul and Silas free is the very same power that can set us free regardless of what it is that has us bound and in chains and in bondage and in slavery. The Bible tells us where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. We are to be a proclaiming people, to proclaim the name of Jesus. We are to be a people of praise, and we are to be a people that live our lives in such a way that the power of God is undeniably evident in our lives. You see, I wonder this morning, what about you? What troubles and trials and challenges you may be facing? What is it that you're wrestling with or contending with this morning? Do you feel as if you're in bondage and in chains? Do you feel as if you have absolutely nothing to rejoice about this morning? What are we to do in cases like that? We are to proclaim the name of Jesus. We are to praise the name of Jesus. And we are to allow His power, rely upon His power and strength, and allow God to work when we can't. So this morning, if we will do those things, if we will praise His name, if we will proclaim His name, and if we will walk in His power, surely we will find reason to rejoice. God will move and God will work in our lives. He may not always move and work the way we think He should. But just because we don't see God working does not mean that God's not working. Just because we can't see what God's doing in our lives doesn't mean that God's not doing something. Just because we can't feel and move, see God's hand moving and working does not mean that God's hand is not moving and working in our lives. See, we want to equate inactivity with God not doing anything. But sometimes God's inactivity is when God's doing His greatest work. Sometimes God's very active, we just can't see His activity as well. But God desires that we focus on Him. And when we focus on Him, we'll find that we have plenty to rejoice about. Let's pray. Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your power and Your presence in our lives. We pray that You would move and work in us and among us. Help us, Lord, not rather than focus on all the things that are going wrong, help us, Lord, instead to focus on You. And the fact that we are to proclaim Your name, to lift high the name of Jesus and to praise You and to trust in and rely upon Your power. Lord, during this time of invitation today, Lord, some of us need to come. We need to call upon You. We need to kneel at this altar and allow You to work in our hearts and in our lives and in the circumstances that we find ourselves in. Help us to realize today that though we feel very small amid the problems that we face, that we serve a God who is very big and very real and very capable of setting us free.
Lord, during this time of invitation, would you have your will and in your way? Have your will and your way in our hearts and in our lives and in this time of invitation. For it's in Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. Amen.